You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
Welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. We are having our wives on again because...
We're the best.
Well, yes. We've got a lot of positive reviews. I think people like them more than they like us.
For sure.
However, we've had a lot happen in the past... I guess it's been 2 weeks.
The podcast aired... Well, I guess it was 2 weeks,
yeah. Yeah, 2 weeks. And we hit the woods hard, and we had some success. Not just us, though, the team. So we're going to, over the next few episodes, dive into some hunting stories from the Just One team because we've had quite the season so far, a lot of firsts for people, and we're excited to dive into it. Today we're talking about, spoiler, Madison's bird. And we're also going to talk about Cameron's bird and Ashlyn's pink pants.
That's just another part of the story.
And the cherry on top.
Because my husband won't buy me camo.
The cherry on top. We're talking about Cam and his suspenders.
I know you guys like that.
He has a tiny waist. Keeps.
I don't know why, but I feel really good in the suspenders. I feel really cool out there. It's a look that not many people are rocking these days. So
it's because, like Madison said, you grew up wearing suspenders for all your band competitions.
I guess. I don't know. Like, you can wear a belt with the pants, but
yeah, maybe it's going to be your signature look.
It's going to be my signature look.
Just, and for like the pink pants are my signature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Next deer season, I'll have to do the suspenders and then just grow out facial hair and then just big mustache for for deer camp
and
next year.
And no shirt because it's like 90 degrees.
Oh yeah, no shirt.
Right now is like, whoa, I don't think so.
Why don't you grow it like the mullet too? I think that'd look good. Mullet, beard, suspenders.
We'd have to make a calendar. Just One Outdoors calendar.
Coming 2025.
Oh my.
That's, you know, terrible. Some of the guys might actually really get a kick out of that and would enjoy doing that.
Oh yeah, we could make a pretty good calendar. PG version.
What do you guys think? Should we make a calendar?
No.
We're not there yet, but
one day. One day.
The only people that would buy it would be our family. And then your friends from across the states be like, yeah, let's do it. I'll support you guys.
I don't even know if our family would buy the calendar.
Grammy and Gumpy for sure would buy calendar.
They buy it all.
They would buy one for everyone in the family.
Yes, they would.
It'd be Susie and Randy. It'd be the stocking stuffer.
Along with the Mary Kay hand cream.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Every year.
No, I don't get Mary Kay hand cream. I get the oil makeup remover.
Oh, yes, you do.
I get my own thing.
You get your own special thing.
Special. We know who the favorite is. It's Autumn.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's Autumn.
So why don't we just dive into it? Since it's Madison's first bird, why don't you tell the story and I'll cut you off when you veer off track.
Yeah, because I'm going to veer off track. Let's see. So we'll start at the beginning. We went out opening morning and we saw things. I'm kind of blanking on what we saw.
Heard.
Oh, no. I actually did. It's all coming back to me.
We heard a lot.
We heard all the gobbles. We were literally running into camp because we got out there kind of late because I kind of was slow moving, but it's okay.
So real quick, any of you that are listening that have trail cameras will understand this and hunt. Animals know when the season starts. Literally the night before, we had three strutting toms that were all big. Two of them had over 10-inch beards. Oh, 10-inch beards. Over 10-inch beards and over an inch spurs because we have since found that out the easy way by killing them. And then one is still out there that just about the same size. And then there were five Jakes. So I had a ton of birds on the evening of April 14th in the food plot from 5 to 7 all night. And then opening morning. Back to you.
Back to where I was?
Yep.
So we get back there and we can hear them gobbling and chirping like crazy. And the sun was coming up, I feel like, earlier than normal. Because I feel like the next morning it didn't come up as fast. But maybe it was more of an overcast morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they were gobbling and chirping. I was like, you got to run, but walk and be quiet, but be quick. I'm like, okay.
It was like 15 minutes before the sun was up, too. And I'm like, oh, they're already up. They're making noise. We need to get set.
So we literally run back there, get into the tent. Austin's throwing the decoys out. I'm getting inside. And then they talk for a little bit, and then it just kind of goes dead quiet. And we're just looking around. And then all of a sudden, Austin's like, there's a turkey to your right. And I can't, so our tent is, what's the brand?
It's the Tideweed.
Tideway, whatever it is. So you can literally see through the mesh pretty well. But there was still not quite enough light. So, like, you could just barely see it out of the mesh. And so from his point of view, he was to my left. This turkey came from the far right where it is like a creek bed. And so the mesh was completely covering it from my point of view. He's like, okay, there's a turkey. And it was a Jake. I could not see a beard. So he's like, okay, it's good. It's going to come in. You're going to shoot it. And I'm like, I don't see a beard. Like, I don't think this is. it looked dark, but it was still like dark outside. So I was like, maybe it's just a dark hen. I don't know. But then Austin's like, you're going to shoot it. And I'm like, why? And then he said that it had spurs on its feet. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it had spurs, and I figured the beard was tucked in the feathers or something, like, or it got ripped off. But it was 100% a Jake.
From the Turkey Master and not the rookie, because the rookie was not sure, a.k.a. yeah. me. So then the turkey is slowly coming up, and, like, I can see it staring at Austin. But where the mesh is, it's, I don't have a shot at it still. And he's like, shoot, shoot, shoot. So I literally lean all the way up, basically on top of Austin, and I pull back and shoot. But I hit the tent, unfortunately, and missed
the bird. Brand new tent.
And missed the bird. And then the bird went running. And Austin, did you chase it? I don't remember.
No, so.
No, you decided not to chase it because you're like, eh, it's a Jake.
I shot a couple times at it.
From inside the tent?
From inside the tent.
Okay.
And then I got out to make sure I didn't hit it, but. It was kind of one of those, like, it was so close that I thought she had it. And had she not hit the tent, she would have had it. Like, looking back on the video.
I went just over it.
If it were, like, a fixed blade or something, like, had already had the blades out, it would have sliced feathers off. So then I'm like, oh, shoot. I pull up. I shoot twice and miss twice. Kind of on a bird that was getting out of there and just tried to put it down and missed.
Yeah. So that was kind of day one. We went out again in the evening, I think.
I went out. You went to dinner.
I went to dinner. Shout out to Allison. Anyways. and then we had the next day come early morning. We get out there and this time they're quiet. Don't hear a single gobble. Or a cluck or anything, so I'm automatically like, well, this is gonna suck.
And I'm going, it's a windy day, so we're not going to hear anything, but it was overcast and I knew rain was coming. And from my turkey hunting experience, hunting the front of a storm coming in or rain coming in is the best time to hunt. Because it gets the birds moving into the field to get some food before they tuck back in into the shelter. And then in the rain, they'll probably, or after the rain, they'll probably come back out to dry off and stuff. So it's anytime there's a day with rain, I have a lot of hope.
Yeah. But so we're sitting and I think we see some Jakes come down from the left side of the hill, kind of across the food plot that we hunt.
You're mixing our days.
No, am I? Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah, we didn't see anything until that hen. We didn't see a Jake. Because the Jake was on Thursday.
The two Jakes?
Listen, guys. Madison was committed this season. She was going to get her bird. And she was committed. Did it. Yeah. She went so many times that maybe she was confused. Or maybe she went so many times that Austin's confused.
It could be. But anyways, we saw some birds, apparently. We'll talk later about what we saw.
We're so excited to share about the presenting sponsor of the podcast, Killdrift Outdoors. I can't tell you how many times deer have wounded us, especially as we're mobile and sitting on the ground on public land. That's why we've partnered with Killdrift and are using the Drifter, a portable and rechargeable scent dispenser device to repel mosquitoes and cover our scent. While repelling mosquitoes is a great feature of the Drifter, its primary function is to cover human scent using smells like acorn blitz, sweet corn, and buck nasty. Not only is the Drifter super affordable, but with a rechargeable battery, you no longer need butane. Go check them out at killdriftoutdoors.com.
Then it kind of gets quiet again, and I have to head inside at like 10-ish, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. And so it's almost 10 o'clock, so I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to kind of doze off here, and it'll be over, and then we'll go inside.
It was a boring day.
And then all of a sudden, Austin's hitting me. He's like, there's a turkey. And there's a huge, well, it looks huge, a huge gobbler 200 yards across the field. And he's just slowly just kind of strutting to the left, strutting to the right, kind of eating a little bit. And what we didn't know is there was a hen right near us, but just across the tree, so we couldn't see it. So that's what it was like coming after, but I didn't see it.
We had seen that hen, but we didn't know that they were connected, because the hen came and like 10 minutes later, the tom is in the same spot, full strut, and it's like, oh, well, now there's a tom there.
Well, I thought the hen was long gone. I didn't realize it was still, like, near us, just feeding. So I completely forgot about the hen. And then it just makes its way. We're just watching it, and, like, it's still, like, across the brush. So we can't, like, there's no way to, like, make a play on it unless we were to get out. But then all of a sudden, we're seeing it, and I'm like, oh, is that it? Because I see, like, a little head coming up into the food plot. And I was like, yeah, that's it. You can't see it fanned out. I'm like, well, it's not fanned out. And he's like, oh, that's the hen. Okay, get ready to shoot. Because it ends up.
It's about to go down.
Oh, yeah. It was beginning. And I knew, too, like, if this hen fully commits and comes in and hangs out, then that tom is coming in. And she did. She came in. She fed for a while, long enough for him to come all the way in. And then Austin had his decoy set up where there was a Jake that was about to.
It was a breeding pair set up. So I had a hen on the ground and then a Jake, a half strut Jake.
Yeah, a half strut Jake.
Behind it.
So, anyways, so all of a sudden the tom sees the Jake and the hen and is mad. So he starts trotting towards us. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm not prepared, because I was going to take a shot at 40. I was about to.
She was already full draw.
Like, I'm not full draw yet. I was almost.
Yeah, you were.
No, not at 40.
When it started coming in, I had told you to draw, and you were full draw.
I was not, but anyways.
She was. People aren't going to believe this story. I should have told the story.
I was drawing back, and you said not yet, and so I started letting it down. So I was not full draw. Anyways, okay. I thought I was telling this story.
Well, you got to tell it right.
I am telling it right. And so it's coming towards us, and I don't really know, because, like, it's not really, like, straight on at us. It's, like, slightly angled away from us. So I'm like, I don't really want to shoot and, like, hit it in the wrong place. It's also, like, it's facing straight, hit, like, right under the neck, pretty much, like, right above the beard. And, but it's, like, sideways. I'm like, I don't know how it's going to work. And so then it gets up to, like, the decoys, which is only 20 yards in front of us. And it just attacks the boy bird, the Jake.
The Jake.
And it hits it once, and then, like, kind of, like, pans out. And, like, at that moment, I should have shot, but I was, like, amazed by what was happening in front of me, because I've never seen a bird do this, like, in real life. And then it jumps on it again, and then jumps off of it and just kind of stands up for a second. So then I let go and shoot it. And I don't know how many details we're giving, so I'll go to you from here.
So this was the first time I had seen a Jake do, or not Jake, a tom attack a decoy. And it was kind of like, for me, even like, what do we do? Kind of moment, because you'd never seen it before. And she shot, and I think it flustered her a little bit with it running, because it did me. And she went low. And actually ended up, am I allowed to share this?
That's what I was asking you.
Okay. Well, we're going to share it because we're going to be transparent and honest.
I hit it, but I hit its leg.
Yeah.
And broke its leg in half.
pretty much sliced the leg.
You don't have to say it like pretty much, that.
Pretty much sliced the leg off.
Just choked on my water. I sliced the leg in half.
Well, and so I'm like, oh, I got it. So I'm getting ready to take a second shot. But then Austin pulls up and is like, we're getting this thing. And shoots it, misses.
Well, for
shoots
any.
Shoots it again, hits it.
For anyone who's listened to the podcast and knows Cam and I's turkey season last year and the horrendous display of turkey hunting we provided you guys with, this bird, I was not letting it leave the area. So I saw the Luminok go low and I didn't think she hit it. I'm like,
he had no faith.
I was like, I think she just missed. This bird's going to die. So I shoot. I shot twice, ended up hitting it on the second time. It flew, it kind of went over to the woods.
Yeah, I went into the brush.
And Madison shot, and I think she might have hit it. We're not really sure because it was so brushy in there that we couldn't really tell. Yeah. But the bird was alive but down.
Yeah.
And I walk over, and this is where the story gets even better. I walk over, and its head is still up. Like, it's not like a flopping bird. It still has its head up. But you can tell it's not going anywhere, or so we thought. So I kind of get up behind it, and it kind of wiggles a little bit into some, like, thick thorns. And I walk up behind it, and I'm like, okay, it's still alive, which, thinking back, I probably should have had you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I had her stationed just in the field, and I was like, all right, I'll kind of just move it, like, kind of bump it a little bit, and it'll move out into the field, and you'll be able to shoot it. When it gets into the field, clean shot, put it down, done with. I barely get up right behind it and touch it, and this bird comes flying out of the thorns like a torpedo and is in the air just flying
away from us.
He flies
back 200 yards when we first saw it, over that finger of trees, through the finger of trees, and crashes behind it.
Madison and I both are just like looking at it going,
because I drew back to shoot it as soon as it came out of the brush and it flew. I was like, I just watched it like, what do I do?
And I didn't have my gun ready. My gun was on my back and I'm like, I don't need my gun. This bird is literally going to flop out and it's pretty much dead. Well, then it flew over to the trees.
So I start sprinting towards it. It's Austin's like, wait, help me. I'm stuck in the thorns. So I turn around, help my little husband out of the thorns.
She took me hunting.
And then we hightailed it 200 yards sprinting over to the other side, the other field. And he comes, we split up.
Well, I'm going, is this bird like alive? Is it going somewhere? So I'm like, you go right. I'm going left. If you see it, shoot it. And we kind of split and then ends up. It crash landed, and I'll let you finish the story.
One of the things that's helped us over the last couple of years having more success in the woods than ever before is the ability to be mobile. Spending time in the woods and taking note of animal behavior is great as long as you can adapt and make the information useful. That's where saddle hunting comes in. We've partnered with Buzzard Roost Saddles to accomplish our saddle hunting needs because they're at the forefront of innovation and comfort in the saddle hunting market. Take it from us. If you're hunting from a tree, for hours on end, comfort is super important. If you're not saddle hunting yet, you should be. And if you're looking for the best saddle on the market, you'll find what you need at buzzardroostsaddles.com.
It crash landed,
and it was dying at this point.
It was done.
Yeah, so we finished it, and that's basically the end. It was a thrilling hunt for my first one, that's for sure.
I can just imagine you just like take off running and Austin's just standing there like, what the heck happened? And Madison's halfway to it already. She used to be a runner, so.
Yeah. I'm like,
I was ready. It's like, okay,
she's
let's go.
And she's just hightailing it.
Had she had more experience, I would have been like, go. I'll get out of this myself. But I was also ready. Like, I don't want her to bump this bird or anything. And I was entangled in thorns. And I'm just like trying to step out. And every time I move, I get stuck with another one.
This is the reason why Austin walks up to everything from, you know, and when it's on the ground, he kicks it. Even the elk, you see it in the videos, he kicks it before he walks up to it. This is why.
They decide, I'm still alive. See ya. Mm-hmm. See ya, suckers. But, I was going to say something. No, I forgot.
Continue. She currently holds, out of everyone on the Just One team, the record for biggest bird, outside of maybe some of the others that have killed more, but at least this year, biggest mm-hmm. bird completely trumps my little, I mean, I don't even think I can call that a tom anymore.
Your beard is longer than mine, yeah. I think, actually.
It's definitely thicker than yours.
Mine had some beard rot, sadly.
Yours would have been bigger if it didn't have beard rot. Yours would have, I think, been close to 11 inches because the outsides are what are 11 and 1/8, and I think mine is, 11 and 3/8?
Oh.
So you're right there with me, and that's the middle of my beard compared to the outside of your beard.
Yeah.
So you're... Anyways, first turkey, and it's this one that I'm just like, it makes me wonder if it's the one we encountered last year.
Could have been.
So, are you going to test out deer this year?
No. I like turkey. After we breasted it. Is that the right
term? We breasted it out.
I was like, oh, this is like a chicken. Like, this is like what I have to do to the rotisserie chickens I get from Walmart. So it like completely like changed. But even my idea of like even turkey hunting after that, I was like, okay, so I feel like I'm just chasing a big chicken.
Yeah. So you'll turkey hunt again?
I'll turkey hunt again.
Was it hard, like, going after it, shooting it, or was it more like, were you kind of separate from that, you know, like, let's just finish it off, not really thinking about it?
So we had so much time from when we first saw the turkey to when I actually, like, when it came to the field, like, at first my heart was pounding, so I'm like, oh gosh, like, this is actually, like, a turkey. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it actually came over, I was no longer, like, my heart's pounding, it's more like, oh gosh, like, okay, it's running towards me, what do I need to do? When do I need to shoot? When's going to be, like, the best shot? And, like, do I wait longer and I'll get a better shot? Or do I just take it? So I was more so just, like, trying to process. And then once I knew that we had injured the bird and not fully killed it, then I was just like, okay, let's just get this over with. Like, I want to make sure that this is a turkey that's down, a turkey that's not suffering, and that we can kill it as quickly as possible. That's kind of what became my motivation more than anything. It's like, I don't want this bird to get away from us, and it's really hurt where it's just gonna get attacked by like coyotes or something, or the neighbor's dog's gonna eat it.
Yeah, and that's like one of the hardest things about hunting is knowing when you hurt an animal, and and honestly that's part of just bow hunting. Like the turkey I shot in the fall, I mean, I shot it clean, but it's not gonna die instantly. You know, it's gonna fly off a little bit, it's gonna crawl around, and I ended up stomping on its head. It's hard to do. It's not fun to do. So, but that's part of bow hunting. I mean,
and I remember it's not turkey, but deer. One of the hardest experiences you and I have had in the woods, I think you would agree, is we were down hunting and we thought you heart shot a deer. Ended up being kind of a no man's land area. Found the deer, shot it again. It ran like 30 yards. And it was close enough to the road that we were like driving the road trying to find it at that point. Cause we were like, oh, it's down right here. We're going to get the car. And we pulled up and we could see it down and it was still alive. And we're just like, crap. And we watched it for probably 10 minutes just going.
Yeah. And it was on private land too, where it went down. Right.
Yep.
So yeah.
Couldn't do anything about it at that point.
Yeah, like if that's at the farm, we just finish it off, you know. But, yeah, that was really tough, just sitting there watching.
No
fun. But.
On the other note.
Really impressive. And the video that you guys got it's one of the coolest videos I've seen. I mean,
I've watched it.
So cool.
Many times. It's cool. I think it's just cool seeing the bird actually, like, full strut. Coming right at us. It's like, what is happening?
And it's doing what turkey are supposed to do, like what you see on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's like, it's one of those videos of like, you know, whoever it is goes out and they have three toms come in and attack the decoys. And you're like, why don't I ever see that? And it actually happened. And that was wild. And it was 20 yards from us, too. Yeah. It wasn't like it was 40 yards. Yeah. It was right in our face. I mean, this turkey came running at us, and we're staring at it through the gap in the blind. It had no idea we were there.
Yeah.
It was, no clue. That was cool.
That was one of the coolest parts for me about turkey hunting is, well, this hunt, and we'll get into it here in a minute, but just...
Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to spoil it. But, like, with deer, it's a little bit different. I feel a little bit different about being in a blind or being in a saddle. You don't feel invisible. Like, you feel like you're up above. They may not notice you. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But in the blind, I felt like they have no idea that I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's not like a deer that's going to smell me. They don't see me at all. So it's like this really weird incognito thing where I'm watching you. I know that I'm going to shoot you, and you have absolutely no idea that I'm there. I don't know. It was different with
Sounds
turkey.
Creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
No, it is kind of crazy though, because like even when we were walking to it, I knew a general idea of where you guys had put it out at, but I didn't know where it was. So it was like even kind of tucked back there, like I could barely see it because I didn't know where to look, you know? If I knew where to look, I could find it. But I didn't, so I was like, well.
The spot was perfect.
It is a perfect spot.
We picked
spot
a good spot.
What's cool is we kind of got to test it out for deer a little bit because the evening we went out again so Austin could try to get a bird and didn't really see much turkey. But this doe came out from behind us and hung out in the field in front of us for like 15, 30 minutes.
Eating at that mineral site for a long time.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of it on your camera.
And
when she first came in the field, we were like, oh, she's going to wind us. She like was smelling, and then was like, I'm good, and just hung out there. And we literally were just sitting there like, don't move. We'll just keep watching.
I will say with the turkey, it felt like I could move. Mm-hmm. Like, and they wouldn't know I was there.
Yeah.
I read a book and I just turned my page.
Yeah,
really.
Like, you could do stuff in the blind.
Yeah,
and
Cam ate Chick-fil-A.
Heck yeah!
I mean, I did too, but
that's why you killed the turkey.
Yeah,
fueled by Chick-fil-A,
Jesus chicken.
But it was also that deer, like you were saying, like you felt invisible. I felt invisible. Felt that with the turkey, the deer. It always felt like it knew we were there. Like it kind of did the sniff right when it came out into the field and then literally like looked in the blind a couple times, but didn't feel threatened. So it didn't leave.
Yeah.
But it felt different because I think it's probably because of the size difference and it where its eyes are, but it was still like, we're sitting there and it, you knew it could see you.
Yeah.
So it was weird just having the deer there, but it also hung around enough that had it been bow season, it'd be in the freezer right now.
Yep. It's going to be fun to use during deer season.
Yeah. Yep. So before we get into yours, I did want to ask earlier, what'd you think of the blind?
I liked it a lot. I feel like you can see a lot better through it. Like, I'll get one before next deer season. Mm-hmm. I just liked being able to see around and like you're shooting windows. That's one thing that I liked about that one is they're not zippers or Velcro or anything. You can kind of just move them up and down. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was nice. It's really big and spacious too, which is pretty awesome.
Put a cot in there.
Yeah. I liked it. I had a difficult time seeing through it where the clips were. Because at one point it was like bunched up because I was sitting on Cam's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of bunched. And he's like, oh, here come the turkeys. I'm like, I can't see anything out of that because when it bunches, like, it's very hard to see out of. But when I look forward, like, I felt like I could see it fine. I'm also shorter, so where it would bunches is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So he's like, keep an eye out there. I'm like, I cannot see out there because of, like, where my line of sight was. But I liked it because I like to take a book out and read and...
It's nice to be able to move around.
Eat snacks.
Yeah. Right.
And I can move and feel like, oh, they don't hear me as well, mm-hmm. and they can't see me mm-hmm. either.
So. Right. Yeah, like, there's a lot more freedom.
I'm just thinking if we had one of those early for her tucked in the finger.
Right.
Yeah.
She probably could have killed that bug. Mm-hmm. So.
That 7 point. That was
meant anyway, we don't need to bring up old stuff.
The one that will not be named.
So yeah. I'm excited to hear the full story about your guys' hunt because I haven't heard of all of it. And I'm excited to hear about all the things about the pink pants and all that.
The suspenders, the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
The missed alarm clock.
Yeah.
What?
So opening morning, I did go out and ended up having a Jake or a Tom, I'm not sure which, come into like 60 yards at like 9:30. You know, I know a lot of people will shoot that far, but for me, I haven't killed a turkey before. And so I didn't really want to risk taking a far shot for my first one. I could just see its head. I couldn't see a beard at all.
Yeah.
It was coming into the decoy, thought I might get a better shot. That's definitely one thing that could potentially hurt me as a hunter is sometimes I don't take those kind of shots, but you know, it is what it is.
It worked out.
Part of it too is like I didn't want to hurt my confidence. Like it was opening morning of season. Right. But I know a lot of people take that shot and maybe I'd be more willing to take that next year after getting one this year.
Yeah.
So had that encounter, was pretty cool. A couple days later, went back out. And I guess it was the morning before Ash and I went out. I was just out there by myself before work and had a really good morning in the blind. Heard gobbles, called I think the same Tom that I ended up shooting the next morning.
Wow.
It was cool because I was in the blind. He came over my left shoulder and it was like woods behind me. So I could see him like, it was like the most picturesque turkey thing. I wish I could have got a video of it because the sun was coming up and he's like coming across the ridge and I could see him gobbling and I like stick my gun out like the side window to like see if I could get a shot. And he was like 60 yards up the hill and there was a lot of trees and stuff like that. Same thing as Monday morning. Like again, maybe a really experienced person who's killed a lot of birds takes that shot. Cause why not? But I just didn't want to risk. It just wasn't worth the risk.
Yeah.
So he kind of worked around my back and was following a hen. And the hen came out in the field like 100 yards from me. He came out in the field and I called and he gobbled, turned, started strutting. And I thought he was coming in. And then he just decided he was going to go with the hen and just turned and went the other way.
Deer season is over and it's time to get those skulls on the wall. A skull hanging on the wall represents the accumulation of hard work and rich memories with family and friends. Here at Just One, we're hanging our skulls with skull hangers from Kambosh Outdoors. They're super easy to hang and prices start as low as $9. Go check them out at KamboshOutdoors.com and save 10% at checkout with code JUSTONE.
So Saturday morning, the next morning, Ash and I
pay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be your sloppy seconds.
Yeah. Well, it was a really good dinner.
It was tough too, because I felt like he was going to come back, but I had to get to work. And of course Austin texted me at like 1 o'clock or whatever it was. And sure enough, he was back in the food plot and came to check things out.
Sometimes those cameras are a curse, man.
They're a curse for sure, but it was nice to see that he at least came back to check the area out. Mm. I knew when I was leaving, I was like, there's going to be birds back here, but I had to go to work. So Saturday morning, Ash went with me, and this was her first time turkey hunting.
Wait, ever like going with him for turkey hunting?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that because I sat with Austin once last year. And it was not fun.
Yeah. No, this was my first time. And when he got his turkey in the spring, in the fall, I wasn't there for that one. So I didn't see that happen either. So it was my first experience.
Yeah. That's cool. It was cool because Ash hasn't seen me kill a lot of stuff. Like I've had
you
good
kill a lot.
I've had good luck the past couple of years.
Yeah, because of me. I've been there.
You're the good luck charm. The good,
I mean, check his Instagram post, guys.
He said it.
She's my good luck charm. She's going with me now. Yeah. But the past couple of years, I haven't killed anything with you. Like last year, I didn't kill anything with you. Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, I killed something out at, you know, your grandparents. And so I'd hop in a car and drive 45 minutes down the road. And
apparently it's not, I'm not important enough to do that for anymore.
Yeah, because I've been there for a lot of it.
Yeah. Once you've seen one deer, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
It's not true. Okay, back to most of the ones I kill, it is true. They're brown and they don't have antlers. So.
Well, some have been spotted, though, so that would be cool.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Been close, but.
Mine would have been close, too, hon.
It's yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, Friday night, we sprayed all Ash's clothes down. She was very afraid of bugs.
I'm terrified of ticks. Yeah. Really, that's just that it's the ticks. I'm terrified of them. So.
Yeah. So I know that I set my alarm for 4:45 for Saturday morning. I think what happened is I meant to change the like alarm noise. And when I did that,
guys,
I just,
he changes the alarm noise like every other night. He will sit there while I'm reading my book and he's tapping on the alarm sound. So change the alarm sound. I'm like, I cannot focus on my book. So this happens a lot.
Yep.
Recently.
I'm using Daybreak right now. If you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's pretty nice.
It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Another night of changing alarm sounds.
So anyway,
oh my gosh.
I think that I just didn't set my alarm. When people say, yeah, my alarm just didn't go off, that doesn't happen. Your alarm doesn't just not go off. You either turned it off or you didn't set it.
I told him, he was like, hey, we overslept. I said, yeah. I was like half awake. He's like, yeah, I turned it off. And he was like, no, you didn't. I was like, I know, but I just wanted to see what you said.
So 4:45 alarm was supposed to go off. I roll over at like 6:30 and haven't even opened my eyes yet.
It was like 6:20.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. 6:20.
Bird's feet are already on the ground.
Yeah.
At this point in the day.
Yeah. Haven't even opened my eyes yet. And I'm like, man, I feel really good. And then I open them. And I'm like, it is bright in here.
We have blackout curtains. Oh. So it's like when it's bright in here, you know that the sun has come up already.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. I was so frustrated at myself because it was her first time. And after having the experience the day before, I felt so confident that we were going to at least see something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we just got ready. We ended up stopping at Chick-fil-A on the way out there. Cause if you're going to be late, you might as well get breakfast on the way.
You might I guess. As well. It's my kind of hunt.
Yeah, that is. Like, honestly, that was kind of more so the dream hunt. Breakfast on the way out. It's like sleeping a little longer.
The night before, Madison and I hung out with the girls and our family. And, she was like, man, it sounds like it's going to be an early morning for you. I was like, man, I hope not. Jesus really listens. So
Jesus really listens.
And then we just like honored that with Jesus chicken.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So we got out there at like 7:40, 7:45 and started walking back. Ash was in her pink pants, which I didn't even think about because we were going to be walking in when it was pitch black and now it's the sun's up.
Right. The turkey liked my pink pants.
I guess so. So we got into the blind, got everything set up at like 8:00. And as soon as we got set up, I just let out a few yelps and we heard two gobbles.
Oh, wow.
One that was both to our right, but in two different areas. I was like, wow, I can't believe that just happened, especially because like, we just walked past both of them and she's in her pink pants.
Yeah, it was like 10 minutes. Like I had just gotten comfortable. Cam had just put the decoys out and he comes back in and it's like 5 minutes after he had been putting the decoy out. And he comes back in and he starts, you know, doing his thing. And Cam was like, did you hear that? And I haven't really heard much of the sounds that the turkey makes. Right. So I was like, no, I don't even know what I'm listening for. He's like, just listen. So I started listening. I was like, oh, I did hear that. But I think we maybe a Jake called back, gobbled back the first time. And then the more that you did it, it was more of a Tom that we ended up seeing.
I just want a real quick.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's insert this video of Cam calling.
Here's the sound that Cam made to get him to gobble.
Stop. You guys have to see the disappointment. He looks at it like it's broken.
And just puts it away in shame.
This video will be posted at some point so you can see his face. He looks at it like it's broken.
That wasn't my first sequence either. I've been calling up. And of course, when she gets the phone out to record me. Oh,
you should call again so I can record it for like a reel or something that I can send to Madison. And he's like, okay. And he like pulls it out. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
That's probably what got the turkey to break over.
Yeah.
I think.
What is that sound?
That turkey sounds desperate.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come here, baby.
This is a family friendly show.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put the explicit tag on this one now. Way to go.
She was working the corner of the field, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so yeah, he started gobbling back, and he was gobbling, I mean, 10 times a minute.
Yeah,
like
it went for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, for a solid amount of time. And I felt like with the time of the day it was and the fact that he wasn't really getting any closer, he was probably with a hen. But I was thinking, hey, he knows we're here. He'll do what he did yesterday morning, and we're just going to sit and wait, and he'll come back later when he's not with the hen.
But like what happened is you called, and then he started coming closer, and then all of a sudden it sounded like he was going further away, and then it just sounded like it was like stagnant.
Yeah. Hmm.
So. Yeah, he went quiet, and so I stopped calling, and I didn't really call that much. That's one thing that I'm really trying to do this year is just call a couple times, get him to gobble back, and then just be quiet. But Ash was there, and I wanted her to hear him gobble some, and she got to hear a ton of it, which was cool. So
that's awesome.
He finally was kind of moving off and gobbling every once in a while, but not very much anymore. So broke out the Chick-fil-A spicy biscuit, ate that, and then, 10 minutes later, probably.
Yeah.
We saw turkeys coming out of the field to our right. Same place that Tom and the hen had come out the day before. Mm-hmm. Ash saw the hen, which I didn't see. I saw the Tom. I'm like, there's a Tom. And
yeah, I was like, there's no way that was a Tom. I was like, yeah, I saw something. It went up into the woods though. And he was like, no, it didn't. It's right there in the middle of the field. And I was like, that's not what I just saw. I think they're following some hens or maybe one hen.
Yeah. So as soon as they got into the field, I yelped once just so they would know that there's something over here. But I was thinking they're going to do exactly what they did yesterday. They're just going to go up into the timber and maybe they'll come back later. But then following that one Tom was another Tom. And
they were both strutting too.
Yeah. They were both strutting all through the field right in front of the Taj. I lost sight of them because there's kind of some like thick vegetation where you can't see on the other side of the creek. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can kind of see them. I can still hear them. And then
you could see them every once in a while.
Yeah. And then the hen, she like went up toward the timber and turned and then crossed into the creek right where your trail camera is. And she came in to the decoy, actually came up to it and like rubbed up against it, which was really cool.
I saw that on the video. Yeah, I was
like, oh, she's so gonna walk away because she rubbed up against it and it didn't move or didn't do anything. And
way did she come in?
She
walk in between the trees, like straight in.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
We need to check that camera because
I was gonna.
There's
ask.
No way it could. It didn't get her either.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When I checked the pictures of your camera, I was like, I don't know how it didn't get some of these because there was a lot going on. But she came into the food plot and the two Toms, they were hung up on the other side of the creek. They were strutting back and forth, but there was no shot. They were probably 60 yards away at that point. And maybe if it's open field, I take that shot, but there just was no shot.
Oh, yeah. And it's pretty so thick brush. Back there too.
Yeah.
It's thick, so.
So I felt like if she stays in the food plot, they're going to cross. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to stay over there if she's going to be in here for a while. So she came to the decoy, which was like 20, 25 yards from us. And then she started feeding back toward them. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, another just not close enough experience. Right. Like, I feel like we've had a lot of those, and I've had a lot of those too, mm-hmm. where it's like, get them to 60 yards, get them to 80 yards, and just don't close the distance. So she started heading back toward the creek, and then she kind of just turned by that brush pile that's straight out in front of you mm-hmm. and started going back kind of toward the back fence. Mm-hmm. And at that point I knew like they're going to come across now.
Yeah, they have
and
to.
Yeah. So I had my gun up and ready and everything. And Ash, she was on the camera, and not as soon as he came across, we got a video of it, which is really cool. Ash did a really good job.
Thank
but
you. She killed it.
Yeah.
not literally.
Not but literally, but
Cam killed it.
Yeah.
Literally.
So it crossed the creek, and I knew once it crossed, it was 40 yards away, and we patterned our guns, which I'm glad we did that, because that mm-hmm. gave me confidence to shoot that far.
Yeah.
And I watched him for just a couple seconds, and I was thinking in my head, like, it'd be really cool to let him come in, get him strutting. But I, at the same time, I was thinking, I can't risk him just
I
leaving.
I mean, the video did get him strutting a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Right around mm-hmm. the tree as he came around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew there were two, but again, I was perfectly happy shooting a Jake or a bearded hen. So I didn't care which one was bigger. Any like, this was my first bird, so
yep. right.
I don't care at all. And we just watched him for a couple seconds, and I asked Ash if she was on him. And then, what?
She was.
Well, I just like am bummed because like I missed the actual shot. I got everything.
Anyone
before,
would have missed
after.
The shot though. So yeah, I shot and he just dropped straight down, which was really, really cool to see.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tried to reload my shotgun and I couldn't get another shell in. Like, it had jammed. And so you can hear on the video, like, I'm trying to get another shell in, and then I just decided I'm just going to go step on its head, make sure it's dead. But yeah. when I shot, I knew I hit it in the head, and it just fell over.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It wasn't the same experience as shooting a deer, I didn't mm-hmm. feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't – my heart was racing before he came in, but I really wasn't that anxious or nervous. And after I shot – I didn't have that like adrenaline dump that you have deer hunting, but I did feel like I was still really excited and like
he's jumping for joy in the video.
I was.
Yeah, he does.
I was I because like I've hunted turkey for 6 or 7 years right. now and haven't even shot at one at this point. So I think the main thing was just feeling like a sense of accomplishment, and Ash was there. It was like the perfect hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear about people having perfect hunt. I just went out, sat for a few minutes, came out, shot. Like that's literally what happened to us.
That's literally what I told you I wanted to happen the night before. I was like, man, I really hope we're out there for like, you know, an hour, 2 hours tops. And
yeah.
he's like, well, we're packing snacks because we're going to be here all day.
I was
like,
thinking they're going to call. We're going to just have to sit and wait till they come back and check things out.
Mm-hmm.
But we sat for like 45 minutes yeah. and mm-hmm.
That's
I don't know.
So nice.
It was awesome.
Had breakfast. Chatted a little bit.
She got to experience what turkey hunting is like, and I feel like I have a kind of new appreciation for it. Like mm-hmm. I can see how people get into it because mm-hmm. when it goes right, it is super super fun.
Yeah.
Just the flip side is when it goes bad, it's so so boring.
It's so frustrating.
Boring. But I don't know. It felt like. Just a sense of accomplishment a little bit. And I feel like, especially the past couple years, like we haven't really killed a lot of birds, but I feel like we've gotten closer and closer and closer. So mm-hmm. I feel like we're starting to like slowly learn a little bit. And it's mm-hmm. like, we're getting things figured out a little bit. That part of it feels good too.
And it's not like we had anyone to teach us.
No.
Which is, I think a big thing for people is like, get a mentor, and some of the guys on the Just One team have helped us quite a bit.
Right.
But like my dad, my grandparents teaching us how to deer hunt gave us an advantage for deer hunting. And we've pretty much always done fairly good with that. You know, we've done our own thing, but turkey hunting has been, in my opinion, a real us two learning it together, going, we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're just going to go out and turkey hunt.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about a lot last year, is like, well, we messed this up, so how can we figure out what not to do next time? And kind of had to learn the hard way.
Yeah, I think that's important for just anyone, is like, every time you go into the woods, make sure you're learning something. Learn something about deer. Learn something about turkey. And that'll make you a better hunter.
Yep.
I can say for myself, bring someone that knows what they're doing, because then you'll get one second day of hunting ever.
Not true. Not true. Don't guarantee that to people.
I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm just saying the odds are a little higher.
Yeah.
So... Hey. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, with you two here, I'm impressed by you guys killing turkey and killing a deer this year. I don't know that I saw you guys doing, I don't think I saw you guys doing that, so.
Yeah, I didn't see myself doing it. I saw Ashlyn do it, maybe, but.
Yeah, I saw myself doing it eventually. I just didn't know, I don't know. With the past, like, 3 years of us being married, I've been in school or starting a new job now. So I honestly, that was the only time I went turkey hunting this season. It's probably the only time I will get to go, but that's just kind of part of it. But hopefully I'll be able to go next year, or go, you know, in the fall, make my schedule work a little bit. So hopefully keep going and doing it. But I didn't know when it would ever happen. I figured eventually, you know, I grew up with it, with Austin and our dad and our grandpa's hunting all the time. And then when Cam came along and started joining Austin in hunts, it was like inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really cool. Like, that you guys have both kind of taken something that you don't love doing, but you realize how much we love it and have said, yeah, I'm going to give it a try, and both had success with it. And that kind of leads me into something that, I was talking with my dad with this morning, or about this morning, is kind of the success we've had over the last year, with whether that's deer, turkey. What do you think has triggered that success? Has it been like more numbers of deer and turkey? Has it been better land management? What do you guys, what, Cam, what do you think? And girls, what do you think about, like, what do you think has contributed to the success of the team, on, or at least this part of the team on the farm?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I think the farm specifically, I think history is probably a big contributor there, is like, we know what the deer want to do there, when they want to do it. I think we've almost got it even zeroed in on like time of year, what they're going to do and how they're different at times of the year there. I think one thing that has helped you and I the past couple of years is kind of just what you talked about, is like, all right, how can we learn from our mistakes? Cause we've definitely made a lot through, you know, through the years at this point, but also having like mentors and other people who can, who will say, hey, why don't you try this instead? Or, you know, this didn't work this time, so how can you do things differently next time?
I mean, I think for me, it's just I put in more time. So whatever management y'all did out on the farm over the summer and the spring to make it what it was in the fall, it, I mean, I've put in a lot more time than I had in the past and kind of made it work. Madison put in a lot more time sitting in the stands with Austin this past season. And even this spring, you talked about how many times you went out. Right. So it's like we've put in the time and...
And the money on, kinda like,
benefit off of what they've done.
Right. And I think it's been cool to see how both of them over the past 3 years have really, like, dove into this sport. Like, I'm calling it a sport. Hunting's a sport. Anyways. this sport, and have, like, learned so much. And, like, we've learned alongside them. Like, even though we're not doing it, we hear about it all the time. So
constantly.
No, you don't.
It's basically constantly. Like we're
it's
doing
like my
it.
Birthday present from Austin and Cam. I'm like, can my birthday we not talk about hunting or fishing, like just for one day.
And we almost did it.
Yeah. Maybe this year.
Yeah. Kim gets a little squeeze on the leg or on the shoulder, like, hey, it's my birthday. I don't really want to talk about it.
Remember. That's the tone I get too. Hey, sweetie, it's my birthday.
No, it's more like, hey, it's my birthday. Can we like check it now? Thanks. That's what it sounds like.
Anyway. Laying the law.
And he's very much like, yes, I'm sorry. Like, we can do that for today.
But I think it's just cool. That is not the sound that a whip makes, babe.
Wapow. Chandler Bing. Friends.
That's Mr. Chandler Bing. Mr.
But even just on top of that, I think too, like, I feel like we've prayed a lot about and fasted a lot over just one. So I think too, it's like, you know, God has his hand over you guys and this business and this team. And I think that we've definitely seen his favor in more like really good deer in the fall and then the spring, like all the turkey. Like, yes, we did the things we were supposed to do. I feel like God honors that through our work. But then it's also like, okay, the fact that like I was with Austin or, well, I guess I wasn't with you. You were with me, but you had to be.
You took me hunting.
You were with me for my bird, and we made it happen. And then the fact that Ashton was actually with Cam when he actually got his bird, it's like that's not just luck. It's
the blessing of in the all same, your wives' lives.
Yes. In the same spot, too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I know. It's like the same way. Of that.
Like, birds cross the same area. Mm-hmm. That was really cool to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great point that you brought up. And then, you know, another point that doesn't really correlate with turkey, but definitely does with deer, is having a few spots that we can go to has made a huge difference. I know when we first started, we would just go to the farm all the time, mm-hmm. both of us. And like we've talked about it before, we love going there. It's probably our favorite place to go just because of the memories and the people and everything. But it's been super helpful for the deer and for us harvesting things to like move around, to let it rest, to watch cameras. So that's helpful too.
A lot of people, not just on the farm that we're on, but a lot of people around hunt. So when we're not there, they kind of come to that place, you know, because there's a lot of people hunting out there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of so like a safe place.
Safe place, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was one thing that we were talking about this morning. It was like, I think it's been kind of just the perfect storm of things of proper management, whether that was intentional or not, planning some food plots, getting more food out there. Like I said earlier, corn.
Yeah. Couple feeders.
Yeah. Couple feeders running year long. Yeah. No.
Don't do that. Do not do that.
But I think it's just been the work out there that everyone's put in to make it what it is. And then, like Madison was saying, just a supernatural blessing. Because of, you know, the work we've done and
the team
and like the team,
adding members to the team. And, you know, all of you guys have different education on what each area you're hunting. And so you bring a lot to the team. Each member does.
Well, and it was cool. Like for our turkey, I was calling the day before turkey season started, I was calling some of the guys who are, I guess, the better known, the more advanced turkey hunters in our group, going, okay, here's the situation. Here's what I have. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what the tent's set up. What decoy spread are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And getting their input and combining what I know and what they know, and it led to success. And I'm, you know, you and I have talked a lot of times, and that can kind of lead us into a discussion that you and I have had, is the funky chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about, should I put the funky chicken out? Should I put this out? And we're going to openly.
Went back to high school for a second there. Yeah.
Also went through puberty.
Wow. That was brutal. Anyways, we're going to publicly say it here, the funky chicken. Not sure if it works.
No,
I've raved about it. I need to say I'm sorry. Not sure if it actually works.
No, I think that goes back to what we were talking about with just figuring things out on our own. And we don't have people telling us. And And until recently, we don't really. And we're just trying to like pay attention to things and pick up on things as we can. But, you know, with deer hunting, there are definitely things that you can do to hurt yourself, for sure. But I think you still have a chance at seeing deer. Whereas with turkey, like you can really hurt yourself by calling or by the decoys you use. And we started to pick up on the funky chicken a little bit last year. I think if you get that dominant bird like Madison shot, mm-hmm. he's going to come into anything mm-hmm. and he's going to fight. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other birds that you'd be willing to shoot, or at least I think all of us would be willing to shoot, that aren't that bird. So why put something out that is super aggressive? I mean, yeah. Friday morning I was using the funky chicken. That bird came out, could see the decoys, and he left. Mm-hmm. The next morning, just the hen. He comes in. Granted, he was following a hen, but the hen also wanted to come in. So mm-hmm. it's kind of that thing where, are you paying attention to what you're using? And like the funky chicken, it worked really well for you like at first, and mm-hmm. now it's not. So we just got to change it up.
Yep. I think being flexible is the key to any form of hunting is, you know, don't hunt the same spot. Be flexible in how you're hunting, method you're using, and kind of go about it that way. Don't get locked into one path, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So, any round your campfire last words of advice for the rookies out there?
At like turkey hunting specifically, or yes. just? I think for me this year, one, this hunt was awesome with Ash. It's going to be a hunt I remember for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I've tried to do different this year, and we've talked about it in the past, but is really hard to do, is just not call too much. I think that's one thing that's hurt us in the past, is we're too aggressive with our calling. We're not seductive enough. We're not sexy enough, you know? Mm-hmm. We got to work that corner. And Ash is giving me a look. But no, seriously, people say that, and it's true, honestly. Mm-hmm. One of the best things that you can do, especially if you're a new turkey hunter, you're not very experienced, call a couple times, get him gobbling, and then just go quiet. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't come check you out, then he's probably with a hen, and he might come back in a couple hours, just sit and wait. It's hard to do, but it's made a big difference, even this year, on the number of turkey that I've seen when I've been out hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the sit and wait advice because I told Madison when she killed hers, we're going to sit till 10 and wait because I think today's a good day. And, you know, come 10, we had a tom strutting in the middle of the field coming our way. Mm-hmm. And for you guys, I mean, it wasn't quite to that 10 o'clock, but it was still a late bird. I pulled up the video so we could kind of watch it on the bigger screen. The video's timestamped at 8:44.
Yeah.
That's late.
Yeah.
For most people, because most people will go out, chase the gobble, and are probably done by 8:30.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, if we would have gotten up on time, we would have been sitting there for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. That's wild. Who knows? Again, that kind of goes back to God's favor a little bit. Is like, yeah. Who knows what that hunt could have been like if we were there in the morning? Like, we might have scared that bird off mm-hmm. some other way.
They would have seen my pink pants.
Kicked it off the roost or something.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know.
I think that'll be my piece of advice, though, or my around the campfire is whenever you're going, whether it's deer hunting, turkey hunting, duck hunting, make sure you see God in it. See the creation around you. Take in the beauty. And don't get so focused on the kill. Cam and I have been hunting turkey this is probably the sixth season that we've been hunting. And you and I each have one bird to our name in the spring. We've right. killed some in the fall, but I don't really count those. They're like a separate category. So one bird each in the spring, but we're still going 6 years in a row because we find the beauty in it. We find the joy in the gobble and how it was created, or how a turkey was created. And I think there's just something really cool when you have that perspective and you're not, like Alex Rutledge was saying a few episodes ago, when you're not just out there to kill, but you're out there to experience everything, there's something special about it. I know we've harped on that quite a bit, but I don't think we can harp on it enough, in all honesty.
Yep.
You guys have anything?
I guess my thing would be, it's kind of just, we'll say it's turkey slash life advice. Is like, one, like, try things that you don't think you'll like and see if you like them and step outside your comfort zone, because this was definitely outside of my comfort zone and I enjoyed it and I'll definitely go again, which I'm very surprised about surprised to say.
I think you should, you know, take your own advice and deer hunt.
No. Anyways. They're completely different, but anywho, maybe at some point, but not this year. And then the other advice would be just to be patient and listen to the advice of people that give it, because they're giving, if they've had success, they know something. And it's important to just listen to that and follow that, and then also go with your gut too in those instinct moments.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, obviously I said I didn't hunt turkey this season, but when I got my deer in the fall, my goodness, it was just like, Madison was saying, be willing to learn from those who have done it before. I know Austin and Cam definitely gave me a lot of advice moving forward, and especially Cam sitting with me each hunt and me missing the two shots with the bow. He was definitely giving me advice and like teaching me how to do it, you know, because I had never done it before. So having that mindset of like being willing to learn and knowing that, like, especially when you're just starting out, like, you're going to shoot and there's a chance you're going to miss, or you're going to hit the leg, you know, right. Like, there's a chance of that. But just, like, be willing to learn and go for it is a big part of it.
Absolutely.
Because shooting a live animal versus a decoy,
very different. Completely different. Very different. Yeah. They move differently than the decoys do.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how that happens.
Yeah. Yep.
You guys have seen decoys and 3D targets move?
Yes.
Oh.
Sure.
when the wind hits them just right.
That's what I was thinking too. It's
not, we also, lie. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to give a shout out to Killdrift Outdoors. And they are the presenting sponsor of the podcast. And I don't know if you guys got the opportunity to, but Madison and I used the Drifter with the mosquito pad, or a mosquito pad. You can really use any from any brand, and throw that in there. And it worked great for us here in Missouri. The coolest thing is that's not what it's designed for. It's just kind of like, what it is it's a scent dispersion device. I think I said that right. With an added bonus of, oh yeah, it does this too. And the coolest thing was we had a mosquito come in and I had the Drifter in my hand. I kind of just lifted it under the mosquito and I've never seen a mosquito fly away as fast as that one did. Like it shot out of the tent. Yeah. I was like, I'm gone. So, wanted to give them a shout out. It's been working great for us, for the intended use of it. So yeah. And we're going to use it down in Alabama here soon.
Here in a month. Time to kill some hogs. So. Shout out to the ladies sticking with it and supporting us by going, but also just tagging along and supporting us when we want to get up obnoxiously early and go do it. we appreciate you guys.
And being killers. Straight killers. Yeah.
Hey, like Austin mentioned, that not necessarily the thing that you love to do, but you're willing to try it to do something that we love to do and spend time with us. So it means a lot. And for all you guys listening, we appreciate you guys too. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It's always fun getting to record with the wives, and it's even more fun getting to share some success stories too with you guys. So we've got some great content coming out. We've got Turkey Camp coming up this weekend. We're going to be recording some episodes, some content out there, and we're super excited for it, but we really appreciate you guys. Thanks for sticking with it. Don't forget, all it takes is just one.